Good morning. How y'all doing this morning? And I'm glad that we can join you this morning live streaming. It's nice to be able to connect with you in another way. And I'm going to move around a little bit this morning so you can have some fun and not thinking you got to look at a still figure on a screen. And so we said we were coming to you live, and that's exactly what we're doing. And through it all, we're coming to you live this morning. Rain, a little bit of sleet, and in some areas a little bit of snow. But, you know, the Lord is merciful and good, and He has given us this opportunity this morning to where we can worship together, share the gospel, hear some great music, pray together, enjoy the scriptures. Now, bear with us as we are trying this new technology. You know how things can be. So if we kind of drop out, hang on for a minute. If we can get back, we'll get back. If not, we got you covered with the podcast. So we do, unless both go wrong, which could happen, and then we'll just go back to the archives. But you will have an opportunity to hear a message today. Hopefully it will be this one where we're joining in, moving into our last message from the second letter of Peter. We'll be in chapter 3 today, and we're kind of finishing that series, and we'll be moving next week to 1 Peter, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But the one today is a very critical one. It's actually dealing with time. And you know, we had to kind of be cognizant of time this morning because we said we would start at 10 o'clock. And we actually, I think, did. And those of you that know Berea and you know our history, to actually start on time was actually a good thing and something that we rarely do. So we are trying to be more punctual with the word of the Lord this morning. So just so glad that you are here with us. But we're going to be looking at chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, where there's a very familiar passage about time. You get that expression, 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord. What does that mean? Well, it's very important as we look at it in relationship to Christ's return. And of course, we live in that time between the first and the second coming. But it is a time for repentance. It's a time for introducing and sharing the gospel. And we're going to get more into that. Because it also talks about the day of the Lord. And we're going to reach back into Malachi, the very last book in the Old Testament that we have as Christians that we observe. And we'll look at the very last chapter when it talks about the day of the Lord. And then we'll connect these two together. Because we live in a time where God has given us an opportunity that we can share the good news. We can share it to those that have never heard it, to those that have heard it and maybe have rejected it, and to those who just don't know. God is patient, and there is an opportunity for us to share that good news. So as we continue to celebrate and worship and pray together today, we give God all the glory and all the honor in everything that we do. Now, I can't pass around the little collection cup, but in case you have thought we have no longer have it, we do have it. And when we do meet face to face, we will use that, so it's still here, and hopefully you're enjoying the familiar surroundings. I also want to remind you to be getting your elements together. Now, what I mean by that is if you've got juice or bread or something that you're using as a substitute for those two elements, at the end of the service today, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper together. So if you haven't had an opportunity to do that, we'll turn the music up like they do on TV with the commercials, as you go get your things together, you'll still be able to hear it. Be ready at the end when we can join in on that. And we've got a couple of birthdays this week. In fact, actually three. And so on Monday, we want to wish Ashley Ellis and Hunter Massey. Both are celebrating a birthday on Monday. And so we wish them a very, very happy birthday. Also on Thursday, Craig Hudson is celebrating a birthday. And, you know, birthdays are great events. They give us time to pause and reflect on the past, where we are in the present, and what might the future hold for us. And so we're glad that we can celebrate those birthdays. We also have several prayer concerns that I'd like to bring to your attention. We want to continue to remember the family of, also Robin Luter Wimberly. Remember her and her family. Robin is going through some chemo treatments, and lift her up and also the family, as these are times that can be quite stressful. And we pray for God's mercy and presence as they experience this part of their life. Also, we mentioned several weeks ago the passing of Emily Leeds. Continue to be with her family, her husband and family. This is a time of adjustment And again, the presence of the Lord is so needed in times such as this. We received a report from Sandra Rich about her Aunt Shirley, who, as you know, had undergone some heart surgery. Continue to remember her and her Uncle Billy as they make these adjustments and to life going forward when something like that has happened to you. Many of you will remember Pat Cross. Please remember her. She's gone through an experience of COVID recently, so continue to remember her. Many of you will remember her. Used to sing in the choir, and you'll remember her quite well. Also, Carol's cousin, Frank Goodwin, had heart surgery this week and is still in the hospital, but is making good progress, and we're so thankful to hear about that. I've mentioned to you before on several occasions Brian Blaylock, young man that I knew when I was in the youth group at Bragtown Baptist Church on the other side of town. He is dealing with leukemia, but is going through some treatments and is hanging in there and fighting a really hard fight and is making progress. And so lift him up and his family as he is going through that process. Continue to remember Amy Rigsby as she goes through some treatments now. And also Susan Council's Aunt Vesta and her daughter in Texas as they battle COVID, and also Dennis Massey as well, as he continues to recover from that, and also Gwen Mumford. And so you want to remember all these persons. I also asked last week that you remember Edward Constantine, a friend of mine that had a teacher that I know quite well and has had some surgery and is going through a tough time with some different treatments now. We pray that God's healing can be upon him and his family. A strong, great teacher and a strong Christian family, and we lift them all up at this time. Also continue to remember Hope Marlowe. Her voice is getting a little better. She was on Deacon's Zoom call. Now, we're moving into the 21st century here at Berea. Deacons actually met via Zoom. And so that was a major milestone, and we acted like we knew what we were doing, whether we did or didn't. It was a great meeting, but we are into the 21st century, and Hope, her voice is coming back. And so Hope, we continue to remember you in that as well. Also continue to remember Juanita and Aubrey Vickers and Ray Insko as well. Please lift them all up in your prayers. And we'll also be sending out the Berea prayer list. And so there are others also on the list. And we'll try to update it for you on a regular basis so that you can be aware of what's happening. Even though we're not meeting face-to-face this time, you can at least continue to pray for persons in real time, because we'll try to keep that as updated, as current as we can. And so that's a tremendous ministry that we have, and it's important that we be those prayer warriors. Will you please join me in prayer as we go to the Lord? Dear God, we lift each person up to you, and we place them on your throne of grace, and we ask for your healing mercies. And dear Lord, we know that you are eternal. We know that you are. You always have been, and you always will be. And dear Lord, we know that you hear each prayer. You know us each one personally. And dear Lord, you know the needs that are there. Spiritual healing, physical healing, emotional healing. Dear Lord, we pray for all of that. We pray that your presence will be felt and the warmth of your embrace may be experienced. That warmth which brings that peace that only you can bring. We also know that prayer is vital to the church. And if we're completely honest with each other, we know that a church that does not pray, quite frankly, is a dead church. There's no other way to put it. We at Berea are a praying church. We have prayer warriors. Dear Lord, help us to take advantage of that opportunity to pray constantly, 24/7. May we live a life that is a prayerful life. But when everything is going on and things seem to be rushed, may we never forget to take the time to pray, to talk to you. And dear Lord, amidst all the chaos and the confusion that we are facing, dear Lord, we place our country and its leaders on your throne of grace. Dear Lord, may we be a nation that honors your godly principles. Heal us, help us, guide us, and direct us in all that we do. And dear Lord, help us to put you first in our lives. To not let so many other things crowd in and take our attention. Because we really are your children. You created us. Yes, there's blood flowing through our veins. But may everything that we do, dear Lord, bring glory and honor to your name. Not our name, but your name. And dear Lord, may we all, as we are worshiping simultaneously right now, and those that will be joining later on the broadcast, on the podcast, may we join in our Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Now this morning, we had a little children's story here that I think we can have some fun with. Today, guys, and I'm going to picture all of you right here, and before long, you will be back right here. But right now, I'm going to pretend that I can see each one of your faces and each one of your smiles. And one thing I know when y'all come back, y'all will sit still for a few minutes, and then you're going to start moving around a little bit. But that's okay, because we got plenty of room for you here to move around. But we're really looking forward to you being able to get back. Now, I want to ask you something this morning. And we're going to talk about some numbers this morning. Now, some of you have already been introduced to some of your numbers. If I asked you to count to three, you could do it. One, two, three. If I asked you to count to five, you could probably do that. Some of you I know can get to 10, and some of you I suspect can get to 100. That's a lot of numbers. It surely is. Numbers are important because they help us with a lot of things. Now, we're going to play a little game, and it's going to be called Name That Number. So I'm going to ask the question, and then I want you to see if you can come up with the answer. Here's the first one. In a day, whether it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever day of the week it is, does anybody know how many hours there are in that day? Well, let me give you a hint. We could take the number 2 and we could take the number 4 and we could put them together, and what would you think we might have? It's a 2 and a 4, but we call it 24. There are 24 hours in a day. Now, that's a lot of time. In a week, how many days are there? Well, we got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's 7 days. That's exactly right. So we have 24 hours in each day, and then we got 7 days. Now, in a year, how many days do you think we have? It's a lot. It's more than 10. It's more than 100. It's more than 300. Actually, anybody have any idea? Because you celebrate your birthday only once a year, and unless it's leap year, and we'll talk about that on another time when we actually maybe have a Sunday on leap year, there's only 365 days. So when you have your birthday, you got to wait 365 more days to celebrate your birthday. Now, I want to share a verse with you that we're going to be talking about today in Big Church. And it's from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. I'm going to teach you another number. And it's something about God's time. And this verse says, "Dear friends, don't overlook this important fact. With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day." That's a long, long time. But here's something that I want you to think about. Got a picture here, and at the top, you'll see the word God. And then you'll see that 24, remember that? 24 hours. How many days in a week? 7. How many days in a year? 365 altogether. And then I threw in that 1,000 because we just talked about God. With God, one day is like 1,000 years. Well, why is that important? Here's why. When Jesus was asked about the most important things that we need to remember, he told us three things. He said, love God with all your heart. And he also said, love your neighbor as well. And then he said, he was talking to his disciples, those that followed him. And you know, we love Jesus and we follow him, so we're like his disciples too. And he said, love each other as I have loved you. And here's the beautiful part. We love him and each other and our neighbor 24/7, 365 days a year, forever. Now, that's something to think about, isn't it? So, have a good day. Enjoy the rest of your day. And hopefully we'll be seeing you right here very, very soon. God loves you. Tell you how he changed my life completely. Yes, indeed, Jesus does make us whole, as only He can do. And it's so important that we remember that that completeness comes from Him. And as we get ready to move into the message today, I also want to mention Chuck Harmston as well. Had a birthday yesterday, so Chuck, happy birthday. Hope it was a great day for you and a great experience. What does time mean? You see, this morning we're going to talk about God delivering on His promises always. What might seem to be a delay to us is not a delay to God. God does not look at time the same way we do. We have time as a way to kind of mark something, to measure it. As we were talking with the children, I gave them some numbers, all of them relating to time. But God is eternal, and He transcends all time. He is eternal. Time is merely a human creation, whether it's minutes, seconds, hours, days, years. It's just a way of marking where we've been at different points. Now, having said that, it's important to be on time. It was important that we started at 10 o'clock today, because we were coming to you live. It's important if you're relying on public transportation or a subway. It's important to be on time because guess what? The bus ain't gonna wait. Now it might be late and the schedule might change. The bus can be late, the subway can be late, but you better not be late. You'll be left. God always is on time. You know, we sing a song about this. The choir has sung it many times. He's always on time, just on time. Talking about Lazarus. See, Jesus was not on the same time schedule as Mary and Martha and Lazarus' family. Jesus is always on time. God is always on time. But it might not be what we think on time is. And that's the important thing. God delivers on His promises. You know, sometimes we wish for a 36-hour day. Now, let's be honest about that. Do you really want a 36-hour day? No, you don't want a 36-hour day. I got two people looking at me shaking their head. And I suspect that if I could look into the camera and kind of reach out into your living room or wherever you are, I'm thinking back to that movie with Bill Cosby and Ghost Dad where he kind of reached out into the audience. If I were to do that, you probably would agree that, no, I don't want 36 hours. No, it's not the idea that we want 36 hours. We just know that 24 hours can be stressful sometimes. And how are we going to get everything done? And it also reminds us of what are our real priorities. And you know, one of the things that we struggle with sometimes is we want to get so much done. I got to do this. I got to do that. If I don't do it now, it won't get done. The more and more I struggle with every day, one thing I'm reminded of constantly, because I can't get it through my head to do otherwise, is that people and relationships are more important than things. People, relationships are more important than things. Those moments that we have, may we use them wisely and treasure them, because we might not get them again. Those are the priorities. Dear Lord, help us to distinguish between that which is great and that which is good. Now, let's be honest about some things. Think of life this way. I'm going to kind of just walk around here. And let's say I'm on the journey of life here. And I'm trying to go on a straight path, but, you know, every now and then you got a little detours. You got to walk around things. You might stumble. You might fall. You might have to do some climbing. All of that is part of how we live our life from day to day. But guess what? If you ever had an experience when everything comes at you at one time, it makes a difference, doesn't it? When it all starts coming together at one time, it's like, Lord, what is going on? Help me. I don't know what to do. I'm overwhelmed. This last year has been a lot like that, hasn't it? We've had some stumbles. We've had some detours. We've had to move around some things. And we feel like sometimes things are coming at us so fast that we don't know what to do. That's where we rely on God, and we ask for God's wisdom and discernment. You see, in a world that's coming at us all at one time, it's important that we remember what Peter was teaching us in this second letter. To be more Christ-like. To be more Christ-like means to have faith, goodness. knowledge, self-control. Now notice that one's kind of in the middle. That's kind of that linchpin. A lot of us miss it right there. It's kind of like when you're driving and you've got ice on the road. If you're not careful, you'll lose control. Self-control. Because with self-control, we receive endurance. And in that endurance, we move to godliness. And then we get into those commandments that I was sharing with the children this morning. Practice brotherly love and unconditional love. I got a strange feeling deep down inside that if we would put those Christ-like principles in play in our life, when life comes at us all at one time, which it will do, it's guaranteed, I firmly believe we can handle it a little bit better. So, as we look at these life principles, and we look at where we are right now, let me suggest you, with our two scripture passages today, that we live in the time in between. We live in the time in between Jesus' first advent and his second advent. And we live in the time before that second coming, the day of the Lord, judgment, and dare I say, Armageddon. We live in that time between, in between. So I'm going to invite you, if you have your Bible, if you would, turn it to the very last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, and the very last chapter. And we'll look at just two verses, Malachi 4, 1 and 2. For look, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, when all the arrogant and everyone who commit wickedness will become stubble. The coming day will consume them, says the Lord of armies, not leaving them root or branches. That is the day of the Lord. The Old Testament that we utilize as our scriptures ends with a discussion of the day of the Lord. But then in the very next verse, it points right to the New Testament. And there's a play on words here. But for you who fear my name, honor God. For those who understand what the Shema is, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your body, your mind, your soul. But for you who fear my name, the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And you will go out and playfully jump like calves from the stall. Well, our very next book in the Bible is Matthew. And Matthew begins with what? The birth of the Messiah, the Son, S-O-N, of righteousness. That first advent, which is promised for us. So you see, we are to live a prepared life, a life which is prepared to receive Jesus as the Messiah, to honor God, to share the good news and to await for his coming again. Jesus will return. That he has promised us. So now, if you would, turn to our New Testament passage for today. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. I shared the first verse with our children this morning, and with that story about time. And notice the message about God's love. God loves us. Here's something important. Vernon McGee said this years ago. We may reject God's love for us, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't still love us. We may reject God's love for us, but it does not cancel out God's love for us. God gives us windows of opportunity. He gives us windows of opportunity as individuals and as churches. And one of those windows of opportunity is described this morning to us as we read and reflect on 2 Peter chapter 3, 8 through 10. See if you can pick up on what this window of opportunity is. Dear friends, don't overlook this one fact. With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord does not delay his promise, as some understand delay. Now listen in closely. But is patient with you and me. He's patient with us. The Lord is patient with you and me, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Did you get that? The Lord is patient. All come to repentance. And then you get that word in the Bible that you really want to pay attention to. It's a three-letter word. But. But. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? The day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day, the heavens will pass away with a loud noise. The elements will burn and be dissolved, and the earth and the works on it will be disclosed. That's powerful stuff. What does it mean? It means God is. God is eternal. God is in control. The verse, 1,000 years, if you think you've heard it before, you have. Psalm 94 goes like this. Psalm 90, verse 4. For in your sight, 1,000 years are like yesterday, that passes by like a few hours of the night. And how many of you have ever sung the classic hymn, O God, our help in ages past? Those 1,000 years are there too. That same phrase from the psalm is there too. Hopefully by now we know that God's math is not our math. But God keeps the promises that he has made. No matter what we're going through, no matter how we might be suffering, no matter whether we might be persecuted or confused Always remember, God is in control. God has our back. God always is. And God will deliver on His promises. He sent the Son of Righteousness. And that Son of Righteousness will return. The world as we know it, according to these scriptures, will pass away. There will be a new heaven. There will be a new earth. Do we know when this is going to take place? No. But there is one important thing that we do need to remember. For a while, we don't know how long, but for a while, God is patient. And it is God's desire that all will know Him. All will know His Son. All may be blessed by the Holy Spirit. And so we have time. And I'm going to teach you a Greek word. I've mentioned it before. And I only bring up a word like this when it's important. The word that we translate as repentance is metanoia. Now, since we can be live this morning, I can actually do an object lesson here. So I'm going to do something. I'm going to start right here. How y'all doing today? I'm going to start right here. I'm going to mosey on along right here. Everything is going good. What did I do? I made a U-turn. I was going this way, and I turned around, and now I went that way. Well, let's think about going this way as living a life without God. Let's think about this way, being forgetting about ourselves, being more Christ-like, and being willing to honor God in all that we do. That's repentance. It's a U-turn. The word literally, metanoia, means to turn around. In that time between the first and the second coming, God is giving us a chance to turn around. And as individuals and churches, He's giving us the opportunity to spread the good news, to let others know that He is here, that they can know forgiveness of sin, eternal life, and live it to the full. We don't know when Jesus will come, but we do know that it is like a thief in the night. Jesus talked about it in one of His parables about the homeowner. Paul talked about it in Thessalonians when he talked about the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And then John in his revelation of Jesus Christ talks about, look, I am coming like a thief, Jesus. Blessed is he or the one who is alert. For the battle of that great day of God, Almighty, Armageddon. This is Revelation 16:15. Will come. So, in this delay of the second coming, we have the opportunity to share God's word. To share God's word with those who need to hear it. Can we save anybody? No. Only God does that. Can we share the good news? Absolutely. That we can do. And that we must do. You see, the mission for that time in between is the Great Commission. sharing that good news. Now let's get real for a minute. I know polls can be suspect. And I know they can be sometimes spot on, and sometimes those margins of error can give you faulty readings. We know all that. But here's something I do know. A lot of the data that we have from organizations like Gallup suggests that over the past 20 years, we're drifting away more and more from worshiping together. We're drifting away. We live in a time where hopefully we can make a U-turn. Rather than drift away, may we flood forward. For we know that the fields have been planted, and we are planting those seeds with the gospel. Will we be willing to be a part of those who share that good news? Will we do that? Spurgeon, in his last opportunity to speak with the students in his pastor's college a couple of months before he died, put together a series of three presentations. They were later published as The Greatest Fight in the World. That greatest fight in the world is sharing the gospel. It's the Great Commission. And in that second lecture, he talked about the church and the church's mission. And he reminded us of some things that were as true when he said this in 1891 as when he died on January 31st, 1892. And it's this. As Phil reminded us last week, we serve Christ crucified. We serve Christ crucified and risen. Our work extends beyond these four walls, and they extend beyond the four walls of our homes. But these four walls at the church and at home are a good place to begin. But let's not stop there. May we feel that sense of urgency to share the good news. We are a community of sinners. Make no mistake about it. People will call us hypocrites, and they're right. We are, because we're not consistent. But here's what we do know. We have been saved. We have been forgiven. We have eternal life. And we are what you would call redeemed sinners. But we know that God is our pilot. And that God does not forsake us. May we be prayer warriors. A church that doesn't pray, we've talked about that before, is a dead church. I know that Berea Baptist Church is a group of believers that pray. So much so that we're sending out the prayer list every week and we're updating it every week. Why? Because we're active prayer warriors. We care, and it's our way of reaching out, particularly in times like today. We know we need to be ministered to at times, but also at times we need to minister to others. So, let's renew our commitment sharing the gospel, to ministering to each other, to baptize, and to make disciples. And let's do it by observing something that the church has been observing for 2,000 years. Now, we've gotten fancy with COVID-19. We have an all-in-one solution here. And Phil, Jessica, and I will be sharing the Lord's Supper here. But we're also inviting you that have joined us live this morning to also join in with us in this important observance. Well, you see, right before the crucifixion, Jesus shared a Passover meal with his disciples. And we have since observed that meal. And Brother Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 23 through 26, he shares with us his observance of the Lord's Supper and how the early Christians observed it and how it had been passed down from him or to him. And so today, we observe that same meal. And so I'm going to ask you, if you have your elements with you, if you have your bread, if you will take that bread . Jesus looked to his disciples and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." May I ask you to break the bread, take it, and eat. And after that, he took the cup. He lifted it up and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so may you take the cup. Paul reminds us that as often as we do this, we will continue to do this in remembrance of Jesus, our Christ, until he comes again, which is a promise. We just don't know when. May we be vigilant. May we be forthright, and may we be committed to sharing the good news, to baptizing, and to making disciples in Jesus' name. Because as we do that, this world will change one person at a time. Now, often it has been tradition at the ending of the Lord's Supper that we have a song. And often that song is "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." But I'm going to sideswipe it for a second time in a row, because there's another song that I think really captures today. Some of you know the song. It's called "In His Time." It goes like this: "In His time, in His time. He makes all things beautiful in His time. Lord, show me every day as You teach me and You Your ways, that we will do what You say in Your time. And all God's people said, amen. We pray that if the Lord has spoken to you today, and the service has been a blessing to you, and if you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you want to turn your life around, you can take the first step today, right where you are. You can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and commit your life to Him. And to help you understand that, let me just share with you a prayer. And if God has spoken to you, I ask and invite you to pray this prayer with me. It's very basic, but very to the point. Jesus, I confess my sins. You know, that's the hardest step, isn't it? Jesus, I confess my sins. And I ask for Your forgiveness. I'm willing to accept Your love for me. Even though I may not have always loved You, You have never stopped loving me. You died on that cross to forgive my sin. You rose from the grave so that I may experience eternal life. Lord, I want You to be the leader of my life. I want to live a life that honors God. If you've prayed that prayer, we firmly believe that Jesus is in your life. And if you've made that commitment, share it with others. Let others know. They may not understand, but let them know. And check out a church where you can come and work with them and be a part of their ministry, to share the good news that you know now, and to be a part of that, and to change this world one person at a time. If you want to recommit your life, if you've really been thinking about this window of opportunity that we have between the first and second coming, and you want to say, God, I'm all in. I want to recommit my life to putting You first and to sharing the gospel and to discipling others. You can do that today as well. May we be the salt and the light of the world. So as we enter the mission field, may we be inspired by these words from Peter. The Lord does not delay His promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with us, not wanting any to perish, but all come to repentance. Have a great week, and may God bless you and be with us each one, each and every day. Amen.